T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
With Arthur Motes, presented by Parks Casino, must be 21, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Vince Williams broke his Twitter silence to have a TED Talk on Devin Bush today. Is that what they call it? This has been my TED Talk. I see that on Twitter sometimes.
I have no idea what a TED Talk is. I see it all the time.
That's like the important conversations where somebody gives you like that.
But why bring TED into it?
What's TED stand for, though?
I don't know.
Is it the bear from the Mark Wahlberg movie?
No, man. TED is like, I don't know. I assume TED was like some super smart guy that spoke in front of people and everybody just followed it.
You ever fire off a tweet that said, all right, this has been my TED Talk?
I don't think I've ever done one. I mean, I've seen 100 of them, but I just quickly searched TED Talk, meaning it's technology, entertainment, design, and 99.9% of the time that I see people tweet stuff, it has nothing to do with any of those three things.
Now, you could have went into, you almost had your own TED Talk on Twitter today about the Steelers.
I guess so, but I also get close where I'm running out of characters and I
so
can't be
So what did you say on
that.
Twitter about the Steelers today? What was your big point?
It was that I am bothered, probably too much, that the Steelers of my childhood hate the Steelers of my young adulhood.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten on that?
I mean,
positive or people coming at you for it?
I haven't really had anybody disagree, I'll say that. I've had a few people I see that do agree, and a lot of, I guess for me, a lot of retweets and favorites on it.
Oh, a lot of engagement, I think, is what you're talking about.
Yeah,
a lot of engagement.
Well, if your generation's Steelers don't like this generation, we have someone from your dad's generation who is ticked off at these current Steelers coming up in a little bit. Here is Vince Williams on Devin Bush. Malzi brought this to our attention a little while ago. Vince Williams says, Devin is coming off a major injury. His coach's wife died, and he's missing two of his starting linemen. People called Bud a bust and then begged him to take a hometown discount to stay. By the way, Devin Bush is 23 years old. If he plays till he's 30, that's 7 years to turn his career. You're nodding at the Bud Dupree part, Arthur.
Yeah, it was. But they're still different in context to me personally.
Okay.
Just in the sense that Bud's progression seemed a little bit more linear. Obviously, we know he's coming back from an injury in terms of Devin Bush, but I don't know. I just felt like it was different. Yeah.
You don't like the two missing linemen part, I don't think.
I don't. I feel like that's more you're making excuses and different variables with all of these guys that we talk about that come under fire, right? Regardless if you're a free agent or if you're a draft pick, you're going to have guys that are injured around you. You're going to have times where you don't have the full gamut. That's not an excuse for your play, though. Like, can it help out? Can it tell a part of the story? Sure. But as a whole, you still got to have some type of accountability. So, like I said, it just seems like a lot of, just like I said, protecting them, kid gloves with them. And I understand it. I get it, though. I definitely get it, especially for Vince. I get it.
I mean, I think the Dupree thing where it's obvious that they drafted him to be Batman and they found out he was much better suited as Robin. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just something that happens. And in Devin Bush's case, the unfortunate part is, you got to draft Batman there. Like, you can't have two. Yeah. I guess the Buccaneers are the team that's closest to having two with Lavonte David, but, like, go look at all of Devin White's, like, PFF grades and stuff. They're saying he ain't doing too well either, other than last year's playoffs. Like,
Vince Williams' playing style is so different than what we're seeing from Bush right now.
It was very one-dimensional.
All out all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to hammer the guy with the ball. if you run the ball, I'm going to lay out whoever is in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to worry about the other facets of the position if I have to. But generally speaking, I'm a thumper. That's what I was born to do. That's what I'm going to do.
If Devin Bush wasn't a first-round pick, mm-hmm. and he was Ulysses Gilbert that got thrown in there because they had nobody else, or mm-hmm. Sean Spence the year that Ryan Shazier had his tragic injury, and we were watching these mistakes that that player was making, would we be making these kinds of excuses for them?
Not
I say absolutely not.
And that's why you see my temperament and my responses to all of these things. Eventually, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, this is not good enough. Eventually, you have to ignore the people that are trying to stand up for you and say, you know what, I got to own this. I'm not playing well enough. And as a player, that is a part of it. It's difficult at times because you're going to have people, especially people in your close circle, like Vince is to Devin, with them sharing the locker room, being, you know, teammates and things like that. Whereas, like, man, your people in your close circle, they probably will tell you, hey, bro, I understand it, man. It's not like they're going over here, but it's not that serious. Like, man, it's this and this and this and all these other things to make you feel better, to make you feel a little bit more encouraged. That's what you're supposed to do. But for Devin, for the player, you can't allow that to get into your mind, because that's going to make you feel like what you've been doing is okay. It's going to make you feel like, yeah, I can wait a whole nother year for my play to step up because I'm recovering still. Because this person said that about my knee. But what Vince left out is, man, we know how this league goes. Hey, you got one bad year, and then after that, they're looking to
replace
you.
He doesn't have until he's 30.
There's a fifth-year option coming up here.
Exactly.
Yep.
So even though Vince is speaking of it in a nicer way, the reality is the clock is ticking. By the end of this season, when they decide they're not going to pick that option up, now that clock ticks even more, and it becomes less about playing to 30 and more are you a Jarvis Jones conversation where you're playing 5 to 6 years and you're done.
Vince Williams, Devin's game is always centered around explosion and power. It takes an athlete 8 to 12 months just to get back from an ACL. It's going to take at least double that to get back to the high level of cutting and exploding that's needed to look like a top 10 pick. I've had people that watch the tape, you included, say it looks like the cutting and exploding is back.
Exactly. Like when I watch him on tape, I don't feel like, man, this is, oh, he's held back because of the knee. We've seen guys come back from knee injuries, and that's the other thing. It's like, it's not like we haven't had other linebackers come back from a knee injury. It's not like we haven't seen other players, higher-end players, better athletes come back from knee injuries. And we're not saying that everybody's going to recover the same, but when you're on that field, we've already talked about this. If you're not healthy, get off the field.
I remember when Sean Spence played that second time around, and he had a catastrophic knee injury in his past, like mm-hmm. way worse than just your garden variety torn ACL.
You could see him.
That's
my, it was night and day.
You could see that he was not the player that they thought he would be
Absolutely.
When he was drafted. Like that's mm-hmm. why I'm bringing that up, because
and that's why I bring it up, because I was there for that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like we
I'm telling you, like, oh, yeah, you don't know that. Yeah, of course.
It's like, no, we saw he changed.
But
he
was
not the same player.
I remember he was a fundamentally different football player. I don't see – the thing I see with Devin Bush is just a lot of he's arriving after the play is over. Here's what I need to ask you, Arthur, because, like, you even kind of educated me off the air on, like, one of the sort of Devin Bush plays we all laughed at where he never moved and said, actually, it is his
You're
job.
Talking about the extra point thing that went viral.
Yeah, that was his assignment, though.
That is his job there, as you told us. Like, he's supposed to watch the tight end, apparently, in case they do something weird and shady. But how many of these running plays, even if it's run away from him, are sort of schemed up like we know that he's probably going to be the guy who has the best, you know what I mean?
No.
Like
no,
the Mixon 25-yard run.
No, I was going to say.
First man in the hole is him.
And I was going to say, not even just this Cincinnati game. I mean, you look back at other games, and one of my issues in terms of when we would talk about just seeing the ball, it could be a tosser outside run, and he's trying to backdoor linemen that are coming up to block him. And that's why I said, well, okay, if it's ability-related, well, then you need to lean more on your film study and understand how to cheat. You talk to Vince. Vince will tell you certain formations give you certain information. If I see this 3-by-1 set, I know I should cheat over to that. If it's more balanced, where's this back sitting at? And that will steal you an extra step, because what happens is when you continue to go backdoor on some of these plays that are hitting outside or front side, not only do you take yourself out the play, but you cut off the backside pursuit. So the D lineman, the DN that might be chasing backside, you cut him off because you're not supposed to be there. Not to mention, when the play does break and we're talking about having a second contain, a guy that's going to run and make that play 10 yards down the field on an angle that we always say, right, oh, they got caught him on an angle. Well, when you go back door, not only do you take yourself out the play, not only do you cut off the pursuit, but you also take yourself out of even having a pursuit angle. So it's not just the one read is making it this and that, but it's having a domino effect of it's cutting off this, this, and this. To me, that's not any related.
I mean, that's like, a good education for me on like how this stuff works. What I was getting at was like, do you get the sense from some of the plays that are being run by the opposing offenses that they are scheming to go after him like
that? But
that's
what I'm saying.
I guess that's what I mean, to an extent, yes. Okay.
But why wouldn't you?
No, I agree. I would run. Listen, if I were the Baltimore Ravens getting my scheme together, I would say, what can we do? Where's find 55 when he's on the field? How do we make sure he has as much responsibility as possible?
More Vince Williams on Devin Bush. This isn't even considering the physiological issues he must overcome, nor does it take into account all the lost reps and experience he's missed out on while nursing his injury. Tomlin talked about him not getting the experience. Mm-hmm. Today, you think that's a big deal?
No, 100% it is, and that was one of the reasons why I was more of the choir of, hey, you need to be out there practicing during training camp. You need to be playing more in the preseason games. He was available. He was doing it, and remember, the response was from, you know, just people in general. Well, man, he's a star. He's Devin Bush. You don't need to go out there and do all this. Save him for the season. We got plenty of time. I mean, we would hear these sentiments with any of the players that weren't out there practicing. Oh, man, that player's a star. Man, he's good. And it's like at the NFL level, you have to be out there practicing. You have to get those reps. You have to see the game. And it doesn't always happen by watching film. It doesn't always happen by getting mental reps on the sideline, which is why when we're talking about young guys and their development, we're always like, yo, you got to get out there. Even though a fan might say, no, you're good. You had a good rookie year. You don't need that. No, you have to get out there because in this league, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You don't really stay the same here. And those are some of the things when we watch him and we see some of the things that he struggles with from a play deciphering reading standpoint where you're like, yes, that is very much a part of this. But once again, that doesn't have anything to do with the knee.
Vince, his effort could and should be better talking about Bush, but how can you ask him to lead the defense coming off that injury at 23 while his confidence is in shambles? They're not.
Now, they gave it to Schobert, though.
But before we even talked about leading the defense, we talked about the effort. Isn't that what he talked about initially, right?
Devin Bush's effort could and should be better. Period.
Period. Right. Like, we can't get to the second part of that statement when that's how you started off.
That's a great point.
And I love it. Like, Vince is my guy. But even Vince would and that's the part where I said, because of my experience with Bud when he was going through this phase.
Close relationship between
guys. You're going to say certain things to stand on the table for that person. You're going to believe in him because I know Vince. And I know if Vince is watching this on tape and it's a player not on the Steelers, he's not going for that. He's not making those type of justifications. But when it's somebody that you shared that locker room with that you feel like you kind of nurtured and you had an impact on them, it just hits a little different. Not to sound like weird, but it's like, having a son or a little brother, like, yo, that's my guy. I'm going to give him every extra bit. How many times would I come in here when we talk Bud Dupree and I'm like, nah, it's not like that. Like, you got to see this, you got to see that. Exact same scenario. I get it. I do. But you also have to be cautious not to continue to make excuses and enable that player. And I think that is partly what is happening here, not just with Vince, but as a whole. Now, I think it's shifting a little bit, obviously, with the way the team has handled Devin these past couple of weeks. But I do think a lot of us have enabled him because of the draft status, because of the injury, because of just the hope that he could grow into what Ryan Shazier was. I do think that that is why we allow this leniency and we adjust the standard of what is acceptable here in Pittsburgh versus what's not. Because for a fact, I've been in meetings with Vince where we've laughed at guys doing similar things. And we're like, bro, there's no way he could play here. It's not a chance he could play here. But here we are how many years later, and we're like, oh, yeah, man, well, you know, Devin has this and is that and is that. And those are some of the parts where it's like, that hurts you in the long run if you're Devin.
Last one from Vince Williams. This is obviously bigger than Devin, and the media is using him as a scapegoat. It's easy to pick on an underperforming top pick. Let's not bury someone prematurely because it's convenient.
I don't know, man. We got, like, a pretty big body of evidence right now this year that has got – and to me, it's gotten actually, like, worse. If anything, you would have thought his play would have been at its absolute worst, most tentative, early in the season, pre-1-year mark of the injury. The alarming thing, and I know what Vince said about how long it would take him to get back full, okay? But more film, more reps, more experience. Does anybody in this room argue with the idea that he has gotten worse over time this year? That the play has continued to get worse?
No, I can't.
I can't disagree.
Then guess what? Like, I can't I can't abide by that anymore.
I also think that, I'm sorry, those are the breaks when you get the big check.
That comes with it. Yep. It's no different why we criticize quarterbacks the way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's certain positions, it's certain things that, hey, we can't control you got drafted where you got drafted. We said the same thing about Bud, said the same thing about Jarvis. But at the end of the day, that is the facts.
Yep.
You got drafted there. And with that draft spot, no different than when we talked about Artie Burns. It's certain draft spots that come with certain expectations. And right now, you're not living up to it. But the thing that's, if you're Devin, you might want to be a little bit more optimistic about is, we say these things and we're frustrated because we've actually seen you do them at a high level before. We say these things and we're frustrated.
There were flashes.
Because we know at times you've shown us why you were the 10th overall pick. The problem is the consistency. And that's what you – I mean, like, if you're a fan of the game, if you're a fan of his team, how can you rely on him when you don't know which version is showing up? And when you throw everything that went into you getting him at the 10th overall pick – yes, this is why people are a little bit frustrated and are a little tired of the elongated development process.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan. Text on Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. So Donnie's pissed at the current Steelers. Former players like Arthur are pissed at the current Steelers. And now our grandparents and our parents, the old heads, a Steeler from that generation is fired up.
The Steelers suck. What I can't understand is why. It's not that losing bothers me as much as a lack of pride or self-esteem. How do you give up 82 points in the last two games? How do you, in the words of Mike Tomlin, get beat up front on both sides of the ball? Is it a mindset? Big Ben, after the game, said, "It is what it is. It happens sometimes. We need to play better." My reaction, no s***. So why don't you play better? I don't want to hear about injuries. We got beat even when everyone was healthy. I don't want to hear about anything because actions speak louder than words. And at this stage of the game, those actions spell out loser.
Rocky Blair.
One time for Rocky in the house. Wah, wah, wah.
The Steelers suck.
Thank you, Rocky.
Hey, Rocky, what are you drinking on when you're watching these games? Straight booze.
Do we still have
straight
that
booze
drop?
Oh, there it is. Let's go. Donnie Football knew
the Steelers
it, baby.
Suck.
Let's go.
I didn't know if that got house fired, and the football guy
booze.
Had audible. He had done a check with me, and he was ready for it.
I like it.
That is some producing right there, baby.
Steelers of that vintage are just losing their minds watching this team.
I think Steelers of almost any previous vintage at this point are. That vintage that won a bunch of championships and was blood and guts in a very blood and guts era. Guys who won titles more recently when football was starting to turn fully towards offense but was plenty violent. I mean, Ryan Clark is a central figure in a game that if I had to guess, the league highlighted when they said we have to make the game safer.
Yes.
Him trying to murder Willis McGahee. Basically,
but to say he took years off that
saying,
man's life.
I'm just saying this is in my lifetime. I'm not going to say soft. I don't say that. I don't call a team soft. I don't call players soft.
Which
I never
do.
Played.
I appreciate that.
Because I never played.
As a former player, I appreciate that.
But I have sort of code for what I see. They are the least inspiring and least physical in how they present themselves and play the game Steelers team I've ever seen. There is nothing definable about this group.
Do you think any of this will motivate these guys? Like, I know you said you don't consider yourself, Arthur, to be part of like this Steelers generation. You don't consider yourself to be part of the Super Bowl winning teams. You're kind of like in the middle there.
Yeah.
But like back when you were part of the team, a loss that was this bad and then the reaction to it, would you have extra motivation? I mean, I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
you always want to bounce back. I think of a couple of losses that we've had during that time frame that were, you know, not the best. We could start out with, was that 2015 opener? New England whooped us. That wasn't good. We had to respond to that, right? You think about the Dallas Cowboys game here with Zeke Elliott. Now, granted, it wasn't as embarrassing, but for us on the ground, that was definitely embarrassing the way that game ended. Had to respond.
Because the way they run the ball on you.
Absolutely. Yeah. That Dolphins game, 200-plus yards on the ground.
Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, absolutely. Another time where you have to respond. That Eagles game during that, was at 15-16 time frame with, I think Carson Wentz rookie season might have been.
Yep.
Where he lit us up. Yeah. I mean, you play this game long enough, you're going to have some bad performance. You're going to have some bad games where, as a whole, the team just looks flat or they just get housed. But from there, it's how you respond. Are you going to be a guy that tries to find every positive? Are you going to be a guy that's looking for everything to make you feel better? Are you a guy that's going to point the finger and say, well, man, this guy was hurt, that guy played bad, the weather was this, and the referees? Or are you going to be a guy that says, you know, we weren't good enough? It's that simple. And the only way for us to become good enough is to put our hard hat on, and when we get out here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we stay locked in, we stay together, and then when we get out here on Sunday, we execute, and that's how we get out of it. But playing the game of, well, who's going to say something nice to make me feel better, that's only going to get you beat. That's only going to keep you in that same area that you're in right now.
How much would you count on Tomlin to set the standard and, like, this is what I expect?
It starts with him, and he's definitely going to, like, for him, and that's the thing that we love about Coach T. He's very in tune to the team. He knows the mood of the team. He also understands when it's a guy to have a situation, like what he talked about in terms of leading up into that Bengals game, a pseudo playoff game.
And then you get drubbed,
right,
man.
And for me, it's like, you can see, man, for him, he understood the significance of it. You can see the passion with him. But it's like, man, this team has to respond now. You've seen Coach Tomlin respond. You've seen it's not okay with him. But right now, this team has to show what their identity is, what their makeup is. Because every year, that team is different, right? We can't say this team is like last year's team or from 2 years ago. So this team is going to have to prove what their makeup is, what their identity is.
You know what? You know whose words? We haven't talked about him because, frankly, on the list of things that were bothersome about that game, he honestly is far down the list. But you know whose take on this game afterward has really stuck with me as being kind of foreboding? I'm not, like, dogging him for it, but it's just Ben. The way he said, hey, the season's not over, division, you know, everybody looks like they're tripping.
I don't know what happened, but the AFC seems to, as far as I know, still kind of open. Obviously, we didn't do ourselves any favors, but there's still six left, and so how can we bounce back?
I don't know, man. That doesn't sound like I'm sure he wants it to sound.
It happens sometimes. I'm not going to say that it happens to every team every year. These things happen. To me, there's not a lot to talk about. We got our butt kicked, and it is what it is.
That sounds like resignation in his voice a little bit. Like, I know, and I know it's not, Arthur. I know it's not actually, but you know what I like hearing from him, frankly? I like it when he's snippy and pissed off sounding and making little passive aggressive comments.
Honestly,
that one just sounds like.
He honestly made it sound like he was looking at the reporters and was like, you guys have covered the NFL for a long time.
Yeah,
these types of things happen.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, that was his.
I took resignation from that from him. Like, he kind of knows. He's been around a lot of teams. He's seen it. You talked about all those games that were like bad losses, and that was all in 1 year. Like,
seriously,
that year contained
multitudes.
I
think he's kind of gotten off scot-free from that game. And he didn't play well either. Much has been about the defense.
Well, the game was 24-3 when he threw the pick six, though. I mean, that's why he's gotten off scot-free. To me,
did he have a good game?
Well, to me, his role in that game, or where his significance comes in, is it's proof positive. And I will address this to all the people who love to crawl out of the woodwork to tell me how great he's playing when he goes five games without a pick and say, hey, they should bring him back next year. That would be a great idea. That game is why you don't. Because vintage, real Ben Roethlisberger, not like the new Coke version of him.
The new Coke
version. That guy, when the game gets to 17-3, justifiably goes and says, I'm taking over. And maybe you lose that game, but it's more like 38-35 or 38-34 than 41-10.
Like the Jacksonville playoff game.
Yeah, it makes more of a shootout. Absolutely.
Yes. That's your chance to win that game at that point. Yeah. And he says, hey, boys, climb on board. Let's go. This is going to be wild, and it's going to be weird. I need a couple of stops, and let's get some points.
What did
you
make?
I guess this old Cowboys got a little bit left.
Arthur, what did you make of Tomlin again today, pretty much saying when asked about, like, Najee not being involved well, it was game script again? Whereas after one quarter, he had the same number of carries as Benny Snell.
Yeah. I didn't like that at all. I do understand game situation, game flow, but I still felt like they could have utilized him a little bit more. Not even just as a running back, but even out the backfield catching the ball. I mean, you look at his total targets, I think it was around 10 or 11, and that's including the 8 rushes. To me, that's not enough when you talk about Najee Harris and how impactful he's been to this team. I mean, I don't think you get to one of the biggest games of the season in that particular moment, and now we're worried about his usage. Now we want to dial it back a little bit. That was my thing. I was like, man, I think you still have to get him more involved, make him more of a focal point, because as we've seen, when he is on, this offense looks way better.
I thought it was defeatist. I think they looked at Cincinnati's front. They were fourth against the run and said, we can't run the ball against these guys. We might as well have been throw it all around the yard.
But see, for me, I'm fine if you're not running it, but swing. You could still swing him out the backfield. You could fast release him out the backfield, mm-hmm. and that not only gets him the ball, but it negates the pass rush. So you got alternatives.
Yep.
To me, it just seemed like they, I don't know, almost like they kind of just, we're going to go this direction this game. Najee, just chill. And
they
I don't
like
that.
They don't dictate terms to teams anymore, and they used to on both sides of the ball even. They would impose their will, and they let what they thought Cincinnati was all about dictate pretty much everything.
Yeah, I'm just confused over this three-game non-winning streak. How many times Tomlin or Canada has said something like, well, what do you guys expect us to do in these situations where they have X number of players in the box or they're looking like this? We can't do that. Well,
but I thought a first-round running back made a huge difference no matter what.
No, I'm saying I understand like the numbers game part of football, but you can do things to still get your best players the ball.
Yeah.
You just don't accept, well, the Lions know we're going to give it to Najee Harris, so let's make Ray McLeod the center of attention today. I just don't agree with that.
To me, there's no creativity then, and that's where like the best play callers separate themselves. Oh, yeah. To me, a guy that beats Bill Belichick at his own game is, oh, my best player is a pass-catching running back or something, and Bill Belichick wants to take that guy away from me, I'm going to make sure I find a way to integrate that player into my game plan mm-hmm. and make Bill Belichick adjust or something to that effect. Yeah. And they just said, eh.
Do the jet sweeps as a defender, like, keep you up at night? Is it something that you would?
Nah. I mean, to an extent.
If Debo Samuel was running them in San Francisco, yes.
No, it's like this, though, man. With the jet sweep, it's cool when you do it as a surprise element, right? And that's why most teams, you see it maybe once or twice in a game because you're trying to catch a team off guard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do it a little bit too frequently, and that's ultimately why it gets blown up, because the problem is with the jet sweep, you're banking on catching the end or the force player, which is the guy who's going to be at the end of the line of scrimmage. You got to catch him essentially sleep, you know? If you can catch him not looking, you're able to get outside of him, well, now you got action. But if that player has awareness, if that player sees it, whether it's film study, whether it's a tip on film, then, yeah, the play is going to get blown up.
Donnie wasn't lying. People just are loving his tweet today.
I just checked it, and it's
the
poignancy
of just saying
the numbers are starting to roll in.
I loved the Steelers that I grew up with, and these guys hate the current Steelers. And I want to disagree with them, but I can't. Right? And who's the guy that's in your crosshairs the most right now, Donnie?
Probably Claypool. Mm. You know, the music thing added to it. You know, his comment last year about the Browns annoyed me.
You know, Devin Bush did not get on anyone's good side, and understandably with, like, the cat video and just the kind of weird behavior on Twitter this summer. And I think that's part of the reason people have had even less patience for him. I think that's contributed. But by and large, after a point in time, he has stopped using Twitter, basically. Chase Claypool doesn't seem to have that sort of off switch where, like, I know I'm aware on some level I'm disappointing people and frustrating people, so I'm going to go into silent mode. Chase is just like,
Now, there's a difference for me, a fine line between a guy that has swagger and, like, has a lot of confidence in himself and projects that versus somebody who acts like he's done something still really hasn't.
I can tell you what group I think Chase Claypool falls into.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown. Zach Banner for a full hour, 5 to 6. Pony and Muller overtime, and then the Big Ten ACC Challenge tonight on The Fan, Pitt and Minnesota.
We're each Monday morning at 9. It's live and local, just like Mike's.
What you can't do is continue to do the things that you've been doing and expect a different result. We're open to some schematic changes. We're open to some personnel changes. Obviously, they won't be drastic in nature, probably more subtle in nature, but hopefully significant.
455 brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. Can't keep doing the same thing. Expect different results. Mike Tomlin.
Isn't that like the definition of insanity?
It is, yes. I'm surprised he did not.
So to fix
that.
The insanity, we're going to make very subtle changes that we hope
you
work.
Guys probably won't be able to tell, but we will.
It's in-house.
Does one of them involve perhaps putting in somebody to play center who does not play the position on rollerblades?
Do you know how to rollerblade?
No. don't I can barely ice skate.
Really?
Yes. Four wheels, regular rollerblades, man.
Wait, now you say four wheels.
Well, because I do both.
Inline. So you can roller skate.
Yeah, I can do both.
Oh, see, roller skating's intimidating when you see people at like a skating rink doing the routines.
I gotta be honest with you.
I'm like, holy crap, that is athletic.
That's one thing that we're a little bit too old for that I wish we could have been a part of. The whole roller
roller jams and stuff. Yeah.
But I think roller skating is also like a regional thing too.
Because I was going to say, I know for me growing up in Virginia, that was like the Friday, Saturday thing.
I know, but I think those places have closed. Probably
now. But I'm saying we were growing up.
Oh, so you
though.
Had
He's younger than us.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I think it's a regional thing. South and east of the, in parts of that.
You roller skate, you know. They put some prints on.
Oh, yeah, man.
You get some nachos.
It looks very athletic. It looks choreographed.
And don't let you out there with your little tenderoni. You get the backwards. Skating now, you're super cool. Let me wind and down you real quick with these hips, little lady.
Donnie, can you roller skate?
And then they're wearing socks. That
absolutely not.
Yes.
I'm awful at roller skating, at ice skating,
man.
Anything in that realm. That's a no from me.
And you hit that curve and them feet start. What? You're like, yeah, player. I'm smooth.
Yeah. See, it always looks like something that cool people do, and I am not that. I'm not cool. When I try to ice skate, though, like I will get, like the rare times I really try to apply myself, I'd occasionally get going a little bit, and then it's just all out panic. How do I stop?
So like I ice skate as well, and it's fun, but for me, I'm still so like cautious about hitting the ice. Because I don't think, because I haven't fallen on it. I don't know what it's going to feel
congratulations
like.
Congratulations on all your ice skating
success. It's like, you know, on the roller rink, I'm like, man, I've failed plenty of times. I know it's not going to hurt. I'm not going to sleep
getting
on it.
Getting up is a pain in the ass on the ice if it's like newly, if they've just cleaned it and it's pretty, you know, when it gets to be snowy, then you just get a little traction.
Well, because I'm sure up here, y'all have done ice skating probably way more. I mean,
I tried to take Alex on Valentine's Day to a skating rink, and she's a much better skater than I am. And it was just like, I think we had maybe been married a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was endearing to her how bad I was. Like, she was like, you actually went and did this.
Yeah, I've ice skated
knowing that you are this
times.
Terrible at it.
Yeah.
You can actually skate, though.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that Arthur is saying that it's like an activity or sport that you could use to, like, meet women.
Yes.
Oh, roller skating,
that,
not
that was
blading.
The thing. Like,
skating.
Friday, Saturday night, man, that was the thing.
Donnie, you got to go.
Look cool, man.
Oh, my friends all played roller hockey in their driveway, and I couldn't do it. So I have to play goalie. I put pillows on.
You got to learn how to ice skate and then go down to the outdoor skating rink and try to pick up girls.
Well, now, see, that's different. I ain't never done that one.
Here's the pickup line. I'm a football guy, but I ice skate on the weekends.
Or you ask for some help. You show a little vulnerability. You're having a hard time getting around.
That's the move right there, though. The vulnerability of work, man.
And you're a bigger guy, so if you do a pratfall, it's inherently funnier. Like Chris Farley going through the tables on SNL.
Yeah, it would have to be like Chris Farley levels, because otherwise I would just embarrass myself. I'm
that's
horrible
what I mean.
At
physical
it.
Comedy for you, I think, would be very funny, very endearing.
I'll tell you what. We're seeing it with Kim Kardashian right now. Women love funny guys.
Pete Davidson has really gone through quite a who's who list, so I think there's something more than his ability to make them laugh that's coming into play here.
What do you think it is, Chris?
I don't know. Elaborate. What could it possibly be?
I mean, it's something I don't know.
Maybe he rubs really good feet. Maybe that's his name. He's a great footballer.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.